Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, psychic medium Sherry, Joe Pinohu, and Joel Walling. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, but also step outside the box a bit and discuss current events. Great conversation among friends. Thanks for taking the time to tune in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir. Tonight is going to be the Jason and Joe show. We're going to talk about whatever comes in our minds. I have a few things I want to talk about. But hey, Joe, how are things going on in the islands there, Hawaii?
Hey, how's it? Good, good. Same old, same old. We should have an excuse to put a shirt on over here, but it's not never cold.
Well, that must be nice. Must be difficult living next to tropical waters and beautiful surroundings. Wish I could say the same.
It gets to be same old after a while, but yeah, it's cool. It's fun.
Well, usually I kind of start the show talking about, a little bit of what's going on in my personal life, and I did have an interesting event happen which basically resulted in me kind of not having a job. Now, mind you, I've worked in the medical field for 5 years, did a little bit of school, worked for one very large organization for the last 5 years doing medical laboratory stuff, and things kind of just went sideways last week. And the reason that happened was because my back has kind of just been destroyed over the years. Being an obese middle-aged man, back isn't the best. And one of my functions, it's a minor function of my job, is to draw blood, which is also known as phlebotomy. And I have trouble doing that because phlebotomy, I'm over 6'2". And when you draw somebody's blood, at least inpatient, you have to be bent over, and it's usually for an extended period of time. So, well, the organization I work for has been very gracious in making sure that I don't have to draw blood very often. And, occasionally I'll draw blood. I'm not particularly great at it. I'm okay. Anyways, things are changing in the hospital and the laboratory, and they're finally saying, well, you basically have to draw blood. We're not going to accommodate you. Now, I'm doing all this ADA stuff, the American Disability Act. And I went to the doctor to kind of get an update on my work restrictions. And when he did that and I read it, I was like, holy crap, these restrictions are really, really harsh. And so my employer basically said, we can't accommodate these work restrictions. And there's this whole long process going on with this company that handles all this stuff, and so they basically said, oh, just go on short-term disability until we get all the paperwork from this other organization that handles all the disability stuff. And so I was like, sweet, I couldn't be happier. I don't want to work. It's nothing against them, really. I just don't want to work, period. And so I'm kind of in a weird holding pattern with work. So probably what's going to end up happening is they're going to have to find a place for me to go somewhere within the organization, maybe taking temperatures at the door. I don't really care. As long as I have some kind of job, it's cool. So it's been very interesting. So I have just been sitting at home for the last week, and quite honestly, I've been enjoying it. Now, and I don't know if I'm going to get paid in a couple of weeks, but for the time being, I'm not stressing about it. I'm just kind of chilling out, doing my thing. And so that's kind of what's been going on in the Jason Ophir life. Other than that, it's been relatively uneventful. What's going on with you, Joe?
Oh, man. Well, like pretty much the opposite of you. I've been sitting at home doing nothing since last year, March, and not receiving any paycheck. Unemployment is backed up so far that, man, they you know, they owe me so much money already, and that's like half the state. They can't pay them off. So it's been just kind of telling the bills, I'll pay them when I get a job, I'll pay them when I get a job. And for my reason, it was because I work at the state hospital, and in any of the five or six units, there's 40 clients, patients, that you are stuck in there with, like lockdown, you know, walk through three, four locked doors kind of thing for you to get into work. And the staff is about 20 to 30 staff a day. And that's just, to me, that was too much of a risk for COVID, living with my elderly parents, taking care of them, and my high-risk nephew and niece. So I just kept kind of hanging out, but I actually start my new job tomorrow. For the first time since March, I'll be working again, 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day.
Oh, awesome.
So I'm
kind of
looking forward to that, too. It's installing alarms and electronics and stuff, which I absolutely enjoy, you know, on-call kind of repairs and stuff, and I'm looking forward to it a lot. I'm looking forward to having something to do. Enjoy it while you enjoy it, bro, because pretty soon it becomes the same thing, you know, over and over again. I suggest, as long as you're just cruising at home, just make sure you get dressed. You keep the same habits that you do when you are working. Wake up, eat breakfast, get dressed, and then start your day. Don't just do what I did, sleep until 1 p.m. if you can, you know, that kind of stuff.
I wish I was one that could sleep in. Whatever I'm doing, working or not working, I am up at, you know, the crack ass of dawn. I don't know. I've never been a sleeper. Not real great with naps. But that sounds cool that you're getting a job and going to get back into the swing of things. Are you planning on getting the COVID vaccine, or have you gotten it?
I have not gotten it, and I don't plan on getting it. It
scares
me a little bit still.
Well, I wasn't going to talk about COVID too much, but because I think we're all suffering from COVID burnout. But I did see a story. Now, just to refresh everyone, I'm not planning on getting it. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I have all sorts of vaccines, but it just sounds like me. I'm really leery of it for a multitude of reasons. But I did see a story that came across: a 54-year-old doctor died a few days after getting one of the vaccines. And it was interesting. The manner of death, I thought, was interesting, because normally when we think of people dying up from vaccines, the COVID vaccine or really any vaccine, you know, they have anaphylactic shock, you know, your throat closes up and all that. But his presented interesting, and he immediately knew it was a problem. So a couple days after getting the vaccine, he looked down and his feet were covered in petechia, which is basically blood leaking from those superficial blood vessels, you know, in your body. So he went to the ER, and he had thrombocytopenia, which is a low platelet counts, and platelets are responsible for blood clotting. So if you don't have very many, you just start to bleed, because blood just bleeds out of things if you don't have platelets, basically. And that's what the petechia is. And he had zero platelets. Now, mind you, a normal platelet count for an individual is between 150,000 to 400,000 platelets. This dude took the vaccine. He was a medical doctor. He took it, which gave him zero platelets. Now, I've seen this thrombocytopenia before, and usually what they do is they have platelet transfusions and stuff like that. It's actually not that uncommon. But unfortunately, even I'm assuming they were giving him transfusions, because that would be the treatment, and they weren't able to stabilize his platelet counts, and he ended up dying of a hemorrhagic stroke. Because again, without platelets, you just start kind of bleeding everywhere. At least that's my understanding of it. It's really kind of an important thing to have. So I get it that that's rare, and I understand that millions of people have probably already gotten the first set of vaccines, and there's But it's just too sketchy to me. It just, in life, you got to go with your gut on things. And maybe your gut's not always going to be right all the time. But I try to follow my gut, and my gut says to at least wait to get it. And so I'm rolling with that.
Yeah. I just have a feeling that as soon as you get it, there'll be another vaccine out that you need to get again for the second version of COVID, you know, and so forth and so forth and so forth.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many unknowns. It's essentially, if you're getting the vaccine, you're taking an experimental drug. And they've already found other variations of the COVID-19 virus that are more infectious. And now they think they've isolated one that is actually more deadly. But what kind of worries me more than actually catching the virus, because statistically, if you catch it, you're going to be sick, but you're not going to die. A large portion won't actually be sick. But what's worrying me is some of this legislation that's coming out with, I'm worried that you won't be able to essentially leave your house without providing proof that you've been vaccinated.
Mm.
There's talks about concerts. Right now, there's already legislation that's out there restricting international travel. I see that going to domestic travel, even restaurants and stuff like that. So that is what really scares me, especially for somebody that doesn't want to get the vaccine. If I can't go to a grocery store or a restaurant without proving that I've had the vaccine.
Yeah, that was one of my concerns as well, is that, oh, I'm not going to be able to get a job unless I can prove that I have the vaccine, you know?
Yeah, it's scary stuff. And there's another thing out there that I ran across, which was a bill called HB 6666. And there's a lot of people are up in arms about it, because people are saying that it allows the government into your house and to lock people up, and, you know, over this COVID thing. And a lot of that's been disproven, but, you know, there's just so much sketchiness that could go on out there.
Yeah, I came across a patent number, something like a letter, and then it was 060606. And that patent number was for Bill Gates back in 2019 or something, or 2018. He was trying to patent a thing that I think it's something about like a new technology. You know how you got the Apple Watch and all that? And this one will be kind of like an Apple Watch, but in you inject it into your system. And let's say you work for Microsoft, you get paid directly through your injection or your chip or whatever he puts in using that technology. They can monitor your vitals. They can monitor your location, where you are, what you're doing. And that patent number kind of stuck out with me too. I looked it up and I found out that it was in fact true. I'm like, oh, do they choose these numbers for fun or what? I mean, is it assigned to them randomly?
It is kind of odd. I mean, if you look at the information surrounding Agenda 21, and I'm not an expert on it, but, you know, now is the year 2021, and Agenda 21 is, at least as far as I understand it, has to do a lot with the whole population reduction and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's maybe it means nothing. I don't know, but it is kind of interesting that some of these dates and numbers associated with bills and stuff like you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, it's called conspiracy theories and stuff to make you sound like you're nuts, but I mean, it is what it is, whether you're nuts or not, you know what I mean? And I live with normal people who don't believe in any of this kind of stuff. And they think I'm the mad conspiracy theorist back, you know, saying all of this kind of stuff, but I don't know. You know, it's I'm afraid to put my butt on the line, but at the same time, I'm just kind of carefully standing by and watching this unfold. You know, but you know what I am seeing? I'm seeing another repeat of 9/11 going on, where the American public is now, it's being drawn out that it looks that the American public, we are begging the government to keep us safe by taking away more of our rights and more of our rights and more of our rights in the name of making everybody safe and everybody not dying. That's what I can see. And that's scary to me, is that we keep begging. You know, I watched Star Wars, and what was that line in the last Star Wars that came out? Well, the Revenge of the Sith was the senator said, and this is how democracy dies, with thundering applause.
Yep. I totally see that. Yeah, after 9/11, the Patriot Act and all that, and you start to see new departments like Department of Homeland Security and just all this domestic surveillance. And I can totally see this going that way where, you know, the government's going to have all your medical records. They're going to do contact tracing to know if you have had the vaccine or if you haven't. Restricted travel, you know. That's definitely the direction that this is going to go.
Yeah, and all in the name of safety and to be comfortable and all of that stuff. And we're going to get used to, like after 9/11, a new lifestyle, you know. But big picture, we're just being fed one thing to be afraid of at a time, after another, one after another, after another, after another. It's like I've noticed that, like, remember the communism, be afraid of the USSR. And then after the Berlin Wall was torn down, it was, oh, now you need to be afraid of global warming. Global warming didn't go so well, so they keep trying. Every time there's nothing to be afraid of, they're like, well, now you need to be afraid of this. Now you need to be afraid of that, you know?
Yeah, drugs, the war on drugs, and terrorism, and, you know, they always want you in a state of alert. So now the big one, of course, is COVID-19. I'm not saying it's not a problem. It obviously is. I do know it's a real thing. But it makes you wonder if there's some agenda that's being built around it to benefit the government in some way.
Yeah. I have trouble watching TV anymore, especially like the news and stuff, because just the way I see things is changed as I got older. On the news, I feel like it's a story being told to us. It's a story, like it's a production. There's a producer in the back. He's setting the stage. He's making the lights correct. He's scripting everything, you know, to make us feel a certain way and to sell us what they want to sell us. Like the other day, I went downstairs and they were watching Love It or List It. It's a TV show where you either you buy a new house or they fix up the one you have and you choose that one instead. And they did the COVID-19 version. And I'm like, oh, these people are talking to each other via camera on phone. And my mom's like, oh, yeah, because it's COVID-19 and they have to quarantine. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then I'm looking and I'm watching it and I'm like, what about the cameraman, though? The cameraman is following this couple around, recording them talking on the phone to their agent, and it's like they're not quarantining against their cameraman. Their cameraman's right up in their face, you know.
Yeah, it's
you see a little things like that, and you see that with the news, and it's that's what scares me, is that they're telling us a story. They're making us feel a certain way. I don't like to be told what to do ever. I like to draw the conclusions my own self.
And that's what everybody needs to do, is make a decision for themselves, you know, and with regards to getting the vaccine. If you feel you need it, if you feel you're high risk, absolutely get it. You know, it may save your life. But for me, I'm rolling the dice on this one. I may be wrong. I may get it and it may kill me, you know, but that is just the way it is.
You know, in perspective, though, if I worked at an ER or if I worked in the medical field, you know, I would feel a lot more pressure on getting it. Maybe even enough where I would get the vaccine anyway, you know, just because I'm in close proximity to people who have the coronavirus. And that, you know, it's different for me. It would be different if that was the case, right?
Right. Well, I'm stubborn. I do work in the medical field. And I literally, when I am working, I am handling these specimens. But I'm not sitting there licking them or anything. You know what I mean? So, So I'm at what would have been considered moderate risk. I feel it's far more risky, like you said, if you're working in an ER and you're around patients all the time. And but you know, it's a calculated risk. What can you do?
Yep. Exactly. Like my risk, I'd say, is well below moderate. Maybe at this job, we do training with masks on, and we see our client with masks on outside in an open air environment, one at a time. You know what I mean? And you don't know if they have COVID or not. And in my household, because we have so many people in my household, that's still a risk, and we have to quarantine from everybody else. You know, upstairs. Because my son wants to go back to school and play volleyball as well. So it's like, oh, no, we have to quarantine ourselves from everybody else now. There's too much fear going on around the subject. There's too much uncertainty and, you know, and I know it's fear. A lot of people are afraid, rightfully so. But it's just, fear intrigues me, and it always has. That's why I got into this field in the first place. To see fear and learn fear, and fear is meant to be conquered, not meant to have your life revolve around it. It's not meant to control your life. It's meant to, you know, be conquered and understand, and it's just a part of you kind of thing. But you got to control it. You don't let it control you.
Well said. I wish I was that wise. I'm like everybody else. I'm afraid of everything. So.
There's some things I'm afraid of too. I like to analyze it, think about it, and feel the fear, and then that's where the understanding comes in. Telling ghost stories is my coping skill for when the really scary stuff happens. You know what I mean? And when it's happening, I'm apart from it, thinking about, okay, how am I going to tell this into a story? You know what I mean? While it's happening, so it's not as scary as it would be otherwise.
Lucky for me, I'm not afraid of a lot of things. I'm not afraid of people. They don't scare me, even if they have guns. What scares me, oddly enough, volcanoes. You won't catch me on a volcano. Tidal waves, tsunamis, and tornadoes. It's just a weird combination, but I've just had so many dreams with those where I'm like trying to get away from them, and I've developed an unhealthy fear of those things.
I have those tsunami dreams too, where you're running at the beach and there's this huge wave that you know you're not going to outrun.
Yeah, what's so weird about mine though is like the water comes in like to my knees and it's still sucking me out, and it's like the water's not even deep. It's still strange.
The minor, mine's a little different. I look at the beach and all the water's gone, because that's usually how it is before a tsunami or a tidal wave. All the water gets sucked out, you know, for 100+ yards. And so you see fish flopping on the ground and you're standing there like, what is this? And then you hear the roar in the back.
So that must not be well known, because when we had these huge Indonesian tsunamis, you know, what was it, 2005, somewhere back then, like, I'm aware that if you're on a beach and the water recedes and you're seeing stuff you normally don't see suddenly, I'm aware. But you watch those videos of people like standing up on a hill and that's happening, and then there's people down there going deeper towards the water, you know, and it's like, don't you realize what's coming? And then they finally realize it, you know, this 60-foot surge comes in and they're like running, and it's like everyone should be aware of that. If you live on a coast and you see a rapidly receding coastal line, get as high as possible.
Yeah. I don't think it all works that way though. Because I'm kind of thinking about it. I have seen videos in Japan. Maybe tsunamis work different than tidal waves. I'm not too sure. But yeah, that'll be something interesting to look at. All I know is we have the sirens here in Hawaii that blare like 24 hours before we're expected to be hit by a tsunami. You know, oh, there was an earthquake in Chile today. Let's go ahead and notify the entire state, you know.
So one of the things we're talking about, tsunamis and stuff, and people that are caught in those really are unlucky. And everybody throughout their life, I mean, has – bad things happen to them. It's just, it's part of life. Some people have worse things. Some people just seem to have amazing luck to where nothing really major ever happens. So I ran across a guy by the name of Frayn Selleck. He is pretty much the undisputed man who is considered the world's most unlucky, luckiest man. Have you ever heard of this guy?
No, I haven't.
So let me tell you why he's the world's most unlucky, luckiest man. So his near-death experiences began in 1962 when he was riding a train through a cold, rainy canyon, and the train flew off the tracks and crashed into a river. An unknown person pulled him to safety while 17 other passengers drowned. He only suffered a broken arm and hypothermia. So that's pretty lucky. Some dude saves you, right? The very next year, during his first and only plane ride, he was blown out of a malfunctioning plane door and landed in a haystack. The plane eventually crashed, killing 19 people. 3 years after that, in 1966, a bus he was riding in skidded off the road and into a river, drowning 4 passengers. He swam to shore with only a few cuts and bruises. In 1970, his car caught fire as he was driving, and he managed to escape before the fuel tank blew up. 3 years after that, in another driving incident, the engine of his car was doused with hot oil from a malfunctioning fuel pump, causing flames to shoot through the air vents. Only his hair was singed, but he got away from that incident relatively unharmed. In 1995, he was struck by a bus and sustained only minor injuries. In 1996, he eluded a head-on collision with a United Nations truck on a mountain curve by swerving into a guardrail, which gave way under the force of his car. He was ejected from the car when the door flew open. He managed to hold on to a tree and watched his car plummet 300 feet into the gorge. And finally, in 2003, 2 days after his 73rd birthday, he won $1.1 million in the lottery. So there is a man that's been through a lot. Now, I know bad things happen to people, but this to me just, the worst injury I've ever sustained was a badly fractured fibula. So when something like this happens to somebody, you almost have to think that there's something more cosmic going on, because this to me just defies the odds. Who gets sucked out of an airplane and lands in a haystack? And then you factor in all these other things. I mean, sure, it's possible that's just being super lucky. But when you have like 7 or 8 near-death experiences in your life, that just seems to go beyond the odds as far as – that's my opinion. What do you think?
The case guy comes out, and I'm thinking, what nationality? What nationality do you think this guy is? Croatian.
Oh,
I'm thinking a curse, family curse, or curse put on him, or something like that, and really good guardians. I mean, I've heard about bad luck happening, and
they're kind of canceling each other out. So maybe this dude has like one of the genealogical curses that go from person to person, and he's just got angels helping him out.
Or he's just really, really lucky. I mean, I've met a lot of people who have been cursed with a lot of bad stuff happening one after another, but they usually don't, they're usually not lucky enough to escape unscathed, you know what I mean, kind of thing. They lose people, they lose their loved ones, they lose the ability to walk, you know, stuff like that happens. I'd like to know what this guy looks like, so I make sure I'm never on a plane with him, or a train, or a bus.
I'm trying to look to see if there are Croatian curses, but I'm not seeing a whole lot. But that seems kind of like an area of the country where you have, you know, gypsy curses and stuff like that. I'm speculating. I have no idea.
Yeah. I don't know much about that area myself, but yeah, that's the first thing that came to mind.
It's kind of interesting. You know, we always think that, or at least the scientists think that this is just, everything is very random. You know, bad things sometimes happen, good things sometimes happen. But I'm not necessarily convinced. I'm a pretty analytical thinker, but I honestly would like to believe that things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just all randomness, you know. That doesn't resonate with me. I feel like there's a lot more going on here than we're able to perceive, in that when things happen, there is a reason behind it.
Yeah, I believe that too. You learn from everything that happens to you.
For example, when I broke my leg chasing a shoplifter, of all things, because that was my job. I spent 18 years busting employees and shoplifters. At the time, it seemed like a pretty terrible thing, because once I went back to work and was under restrictions, the organization went out of their way to get rid of me. And I thought how terrible it was, but it actually worked. It turned into a positive, because I was able to get some free school, and then I started my career in the medical field. So it was like, sometimes when things seem really bad, they can actually go the opposite way and end up being fantastic in the long run.
Yep. There's always free will involved too. I have a lot of friends who are psychics and mediums and stuff. And one told me, I think it was back in 2015 or 2016, that she told me, she's proven her gift time and time and time again. She's one of the people that helped me out with cases and stuff. Send her a picture, and she'll look at the picture and say, this person is from this city in this town, you know, that kind of stuff. And I find out they're absolutely right. Anyway, so she tells me that my financial concerns and all of my money problems are going to go away after February. And I'm like, oh, that would be nice, you know, working for $13. And actually, I think it was $11 an hour at the time. Like, that would be fantastic if that happened, right? And she kept telling me that. She's like, yeah, don't worry. Your guides got you. Your guardians got you. They're going to take care of you, you know. And then my plan at the time was to go back to school, back to college, finish up my education. But because as a Hawaiian, there are scholarships for me. And at that time, they went a step further where they would pay all of my bills. If they want Hawaiian adults to get their degrees and an education so much that you have these other these groups and these financial institutions that will buy you a car, that will pay you your rent, that will give you $2,000 a month to live off of while you're going to school, kind of thing, you know, pay off all of your bills, all of your debt, all of that stuff. And I'm like, that's like, my God, I should quit my job and make more money than I do, you know, at my job just going back to school.
Yeah.
So that was my whole plan. And come March 1st, I was like, okay, I'm not going to wait around. I'm just going to go ahead and do it myself. I'm waiting for the hand of God to come down and, you know, grab me and place me where I need to be placed. Found out that March 1st was the deadline for all of the applications. You know, actually, the last day of February was the deadline for all of the to apply for all of the scholarships, and I had missed it by one day. So my psychic friend was not wrong, but what I failed to take into consideration was free will, you know. If I had gone on the path, see, she had told me that. And so I'm thinking, okay, I'm just going to wait and let the spirits do their thing. And I'm not going to interfere. I'm just going to, you know, sit back and wait for all the blessings to come to me, right? No, don't work like that. You know, Sherry gave me a reading, and she told me something that made so much sense, because a lot of people are saying, you know, money's not going to be a problem. I'm taken care of. You know, I have a good future ahead of me and all of that stuff. And I'm like, great, when is it going to start? Because I'm 40 years old almost, and I'm waiting, and it still's not come. Sherry's like, yeah, you're going to be fine, Joe, but you're going to work your butt off. why to get to that place. You're gonna put in some hard backbreaking work, and I'm like, God, thank you. That's what I needed to hear. So I stopped sitting around hoping for a miracle, and started doing it on my own.
I want all that, but I just don't want to have to work for it. I'm totally putting the energy out there to the universe to just, you know, give me great, fantastic wealth with little to no effort. That would be my dream. I tell you, I'm burned out, man. I have worked full-time since I was about 17. A couple of years, I'll be 50 years old. I'm just tired. Like, I don't know how people do it into their 70s. Like, I'm so over it. I am so over the medical field. I am so over work. So sick of the high-stress medical environment. You know, it's just, I'm suffering from, like, serious burnout of it all. I just want to buy some land in, like, Montana, live in a cabin, enjoy nature, you know, and just not have to deal with it. But unfortunately, that's not how things usually work in Western society.
Nope. I mean, I live in Hawaii. We can grow just about anything, you know, and I would love that too, but that's not how it works.
I know,
run to the back of the valley and hide so much, make a little house, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be amazing. You know, it's for a very small fraction of people that happens, but the reality is the vast majority are people like us that have to work for the vast majority of our lives. And to me, that's depressing. I just want to be rich and famous.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. something occurred to me the other day, though, about a few months ago. I keep being told these words, and I take the words apart. The psychics don't tell me you're going to be rich. They said everything will be taken care of, you know? And I've gotten to think about that a lot. And I realize that where I am right now in this position, there's a lot of things that are taken care of for me, as I found out without, you know, not being able to work for almost a year, you know. Things come by, you know. I have faith and things come by. My car never got repossessed or anything. I mean, we haven't had cell phones since October, but, you know, that's just a luxury. And I'm glad that we haven't, because we've learned to live without it, you know. But it's the whole American dream about being rich, to me, is not that important anymore. You know, I don't care about being rich. I don't care about having the house on the beach. If it's meant for me to, then I will. But I'm happy just being around family and doing what I love to do. It took me a lot to come to that point. It's like, you know, then I started seeing a lot of things. Like, greed is everywhere. It's the American dream. It's what we're being fed from the day we're born, is you want to be rich. You want to have so much money that you can give it to your kids, and that's what a responsible adult does. Down here in Hawaii, we have a lot of people who buy up property and rent it out, right? Like, I think the island of Kauai, I probably have the numbers wrong, but 4 out of 5 houses are owned by someone who doesn't live there, you know? And they're rented out to the locals, and they're VRBOs and all of this stuff. And that's what causes the problem down here, because it jacks up our prices sky high, which is why people cannot get their own places. And a lot of Hawaiian locals, they have to move to the mainland to make ends meet, you know. But what person in their right mind, if the opportunity presented itself, wouldn't say, sure, I'll buy 3 or 4 houses, you know, and I'll let people live there, and I'll charge them, and they'll pay the mortgage, right? That's a good thing to do, but that causes a problem, that adds to the problem instead of solving the problem. You know, it's a really weird place I'm at right now, where part of me wants all of these luxuries and all of these things, and the other part of me just realizes I don't need that much. I'm happy as I am. I love my kids struggling. I hate to say that, and I don't want to sound like a bad guy, but I love my kids not having everything they want. They have everything they need. You know, when we go out to eat a Taco Bell now, they love it. They absolutely love it. That it's a treat versus when I worked, we would go there like 3 times a week, you know, and it was no big deal.
Yeah, I unfortunately am stuck into the American dream of being rich. I can't get out of that. And honestly, I'm a little spoiled. I've been blessed in many, many ways, but despite being blessed in many ways, you still want more. I mean, I had somebody buy me a house. You know, that doesn't happen for a lot of people. So I'm spoiled. What can I say? But
I'm
so
sitting
out
here in paradise. You know, so same thing here, right? It's easy for me to be happy with everything I have in Hawaii.
I certainly don't live in paradise, although, you know, I do live in the Northwest. I guess some people would consider that paradise. I think Hawaii more is paradise than the West Coast of the United States, Northwest. But I would love to live in Hawaii. It's too expensive, though.
You know, the beauty of the Northwest is you can get away from people. I've tried. You cannot go to any beach on the island of Oahu at time of the day, night, early morning, and not see 3 other people. You can't go anywhere without seeing people. You go on a hiking trail that only you know about, and there's 2 other people on the trail with you. You know, there's...
I guess that's how it works on an island. You can only go so far. And I will say, it's kind of not as extreme here. I mean, you can go out in some super remote areas and not see people, but not anywhere near the cities. But you have no choice. I mean, you're on an island.
Yeah.
I mean,
hey, give me the option to drive 4 hours in that direction and see nothing. Hey, I would take it every weekend, you know.
I think getting out into nature, and I'm really bad. I used to be an individual that would go out into the middle of nowhere, relatively, and I used to enjoy collecting rocks and kind of exploring the high desert. And I mean, that we used to do it all the time for weeks on end. And I got away from that by getting a Harley Davidson and joining a motorcycle club and doing all that stuff. And then, you know, getting into technology, making sure I had a powerful PC. And like right now I'm into virtual reality and I do a lot of virtual reality. And I part of me longs to separate myself from this and to go back into enjoying the outdoors and nature. Because right now, basically, I'm sitting there with a headset on, you know, shooting 10-year-olds in a virtual reality game. And while that is entertaining, I don't know how much spiritual value that has. You know what I mean?
Or the worst, you're being shot and killed by the 10-year-olds.
Yeah, that sucks too. You know, being a middle-aged obese man, I can't keep up with the 14-year-olds and their reflexes. I do pretty good, but still, I get my ass handed to me sometimes.
Yeah, I've been a gamer myself for a long time, and it was a few years ago I realized, living in Hawaii, you are in the worst time zone to play online games with people. You know, especially my schedule where I work till 6 in the morning. Yeah, that just, you don't play with anybody at the same time twice. And just the whole competition itself. Yeah, that's just kind of, it's really toxic sometimes. It's really bad. And I noticed my blood pressure would go up and like, I can't have this. So I just play nice, quiet, single player offline games now.
You know, it's interesting because playing video games does have a physiological effect. And the reason I know this is I haven't really measured my blood pressure, but I noticed that my body temperature significantly increases when I'm playing video games. I even Googled it because I found it very interesting. Like, while body temperature would be 98.6 or whatever, maybe a little bit higher depending on the time of day. But after a session of gaming, I'm like, I feel hot, and then I'll go take it. And I could be pushing close to 100, and then it just goes down. It's very interesting how gaming affects your heart rate, your blood pressure, your temperature, and it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, the adrenaline rush. Oh, man. I end up tired from that. Playing the game, and I feel like, oh, man, I feel like I just run a marathon. You know, I'm like, oh, no. Okay, we're going to take a break from this now.
And I'm doing all this sitting down. You wouldn't think it's a workout, but I think it's like a it's a mental workout.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
Yeah. But it's fun. It's going to be fun to watch where this world goes, you know. I speak out every now and then just for people who need to hear, you know, one-on-one kind of thing. Or I don't usually I'll speak to whoever wants to hear, put it that way. You know, whoever wants to listen to me, I'll go ahead and let them know the things that I was told and what I believe and stuff like that. But a lot of people just, they don't want things to change, you know. That's the funny part. Yeah. Even I noticed with COVID, everybody can't wait for things to get back to normal. April, May last year, everybody was like, we can't wait for everything to get back to the way it was. But people weren't happy the way that it was, you know? I don't understand it. It's like we want to get back to normal where they were miserable and they knew it. You know, it's like this is a chance to rise up above and make everything better and cleanse yourself in a way, you know, not continue your old things and your old habits and all that. I've been struggling to do that, but I've managed to accomplish some things.
I personally would like things to return to normal. I mean, one of my biggest vice actually is, you know, slot machines. And the state of Oregon has video lottery terminals. I've been addicted to those for years. But everything's closed, so I can't do that. So this has been kind of an extended break from that. And I'm like, God, I can't wait for things to open up so I can get back to my typical unhealthy routine, you know. And I should be saying this is a great opportunity to stop that habit, you know, and come up with a new hobby that's a little healthier. But my mind is still thinking, God, I can't wait to hit that button again, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not just me. I mean, it's everybody. We're never happy. I mean, if you're rich, you're probably not happy. If you're poor, you're probably not happy. I don't know that we could ever be happy unless you really get that divine energy going and go within yourself and do all that internal maintenance to make you at peace. Because we're all caught up in technology, drama, fear. So I guess the goal should be for all of us to kind of rise above that and just be more divine creatures.
Yeah, I feel like I've been working on that my whole life. Because for me, it was kind of the opposite. I've always been happy, you know. I've always had a lot of faith, and even with nothing, I'm still happy. But now I got that damn cell phone, you know what I mean, with those apps and Netflix, and I have to watch this, I have to watch YouTube, I have to do, you know, and it's like, oh, God. Before that, I accomplished a lot more stuff, you know. I was a lot happier before all of this cell phone stuff. Now I just stare blankly at my screen for hours a day sometimes, you know.
Yeah, and technology in itself is an addiction. I don't know that I could unplug and be happy because it's so ingrained into my daily behaviors like it is so many other people. I mean, if I ever got into money, I think I would just force myself to disconnect and go get some land somewhere, become a hermit.
Yeah, otherwise you won't have any money.
Yeah.
There's always something to spend money on, you know.
That is true, especially since you have companies like Amazon where you can literally order anything, a lot of stuff. I mean, I just ordered super hot, spicy Korean noodles on Amazon that'll be here on Tuesday, the kind that are supposed to melt your face. It's crazy.
Oh, those are good. The Korean ones. Yeah.
Yeah, I like hot food. And I was like, I see the challenges on YouTube because I watch YouTube all day long.
Ah, yeah.
And I was like, oh my, I got to get a pack of those. Here, let's see if they have them on Amazon. Oh, they do have them on Amazon. Yep, be here in 3 or 4 days. Sweet.
Oh my God, they got everything on Amazon. I had a blueberry coffee in Maine, and I'm like, huh, I want some more. Boom, it's on Amazon. I'm like, oh my God, they sell blueberry coffee on Amazon in like April, you know?
Such a, I am a huge fan of Amazon. Good job, Mr. Bezos. I understand why he's like the richest. He's now the richest person on the planet, I believe. Yeah, it's great. I love it. I watch Prime all the time, so I'm all for that company. It's great. Unfortunately, it's killing off all the little people and small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, it's convenient. And as we progress through our society here, everything is to make our lives easier and easier. And I envision in a couple decades, you literally won't have to ever leave your house for anything. You know, you even work.
Scary.
Everything will be at home. It is scary,
yeah.
But it's convenient.
Yeah. Well, see, for me, that the red flag comes up. I love history. I've always loved history. And this is history repeating itself. This is the Roman gladiator games repeating themselves. You know, never mind the corruption of the government. Never mind what we're doing over here with all your money. Just, you know, enjoy your gladiator games and enjoy people, you know, enjoy talking about it, enjoy attending it, enjoy hating it or liking it. It doesn't matter what you enjoy. Just look over there and not at us. That's what
yeah.
I feel is they're doing with all these video games, with all this pretty much just distractions, you know.
And that's exactly what they are, distractions. Meanwhile, the evil cabal and the government are signing bills to take away our rights and we won't be aware of it until it's too late.
Yeah, take
maybe
away our rights. You know, whatever. Take away our YouTube. Oh, hell no. You know, riot. Don't take away our entertainment, right?
That's yeah. right.
I've noticed Facebook, YouTube, a lot of these social media sharing platforms, though, I've noticed them doing a lot to censor other people's opinions and stuff. Have you come across that too?
Yeah, I mean, I've read stories about it that they're censoring, especially a lot of stuff, fake news and conspiracy theories and all that, which I don't agree with. I mean, if as long as you're not, you know, directly threatening somebody's life or propagating violence, then, you know, I don't think things
yeah.
should be censored.
Yeah, I've seen some really good videos in the years about conspiracies, and I even remember seeing it live on the news when 9/11. I can remember watching the news and the newscasters reporting somebody running away from the wreckage, saying, "Well, something about the plane," and the guy's like, "What are you talking about? A plane? That was a bomb," you know. And now I cannot find that footage
oh, yeah.
again ever. But I remember seeing it live, thinking, "What?" You know. It's like Sandy Hook.
Yeah,
I got home and I watched the news, and there was a helicopter flying above the school, and the entire parking lot was empty. And I remember thinking, what? Why is the entire parking lot at this elementary school empty? You know, and all the fire trucks, and they were blocking off the exit, but it's like, I wouldn't think that, you know. But you're not a good person if you think of conspiracy theories a lot of times, so, you know.
It reminds me of the BBC reporting that World Trade Center 7 had just collapsed before it had actually just collapsed.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, it's stuff like that. It's, yeah, well, we're all crazy. Who knows? I don't know a lot about the Sandy Hook thing. Unfortunately, it's hard to really differentiate the truth from the deceptions because we're constantly presented deceptions from the government, media, you know, large corporations, and
yep.
it's hard to make sense of it all.
Yep. That's one of the things I'm more scared about for the upcoming future is our First Amendment rights are being severely just, you know, quieted down, and it's making it look like we are the ones that are demanding it, you know. That's the part that scares me. Is the people are calling forth, you know, and they label it like fake news or misinformation or anything like that. So they're going to label it like that, and then they can take down whatever they want.
Yep. And these organizations have tremendous influential power over the population, because I would say the majority of the people just like to be sheep and not think outside the box and just accept what they're told or what they're presented with as fact. And so, you know, they're doing their job.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. I know. I notice that happens a lot in my house where we have like, what is it, 9, 10 people in this house. I'm the only one that thinks this way. Maybe my son, you know, because, you know, I raised him to think and question everything. And my daughter, to an extent, you know, he's 17 and she's 12, you know, so it's like, yeah. But then everyone else just think I'm a absolute nut. You know, it's like, well, look at what's happening here. Look at what's happening there.
You should always question everything, especially in today's society. Never take anything as fact. There's too much greed and power struggles going on out there, and all agendas that we're not aware of. And, you know, it's a crazy world we live in, but all we can do is what we can do and keep on going.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, I'm happy over here. Just, you know, my little place, down here on the islands.
I couldn't be happy there. It's like one big volcano over there. I'd be nervous all the time.
The more you learn, the less fear you have. You know, there's no volcano that has done anything in the last 10,000 years or so is on the Day Island. So that feels safe.
So it's due. So you're due then, right?
No. It doesn't work like that.
Big.
It doesn't work like that. Tectonic plate movements. We moved over the hotspot. The hotspot is no longer under us. The hotspot is a few hundred miles away, which means that's why the Big Island is getting it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more you learn about it, the more you realize. I mean, we'll have an earthquake just in my city, which is an extinct volcano every now and again, and that kind of scares me a little bit. But, you know, it's just a little tremor from it settling down, right?
Well, now that I think about it, I'm actually surrounded by volcanoes. I could actually look outside and see Mount St. Helens, but Mount Hood, I mean, everything. If there's a bump on the ground where I live, it's a volcano or a cinder cone. So I'm pretty well screwed.
And when a volcano erupts, it doesn't take over the whole island like you see on the movies, you know. It's like a small little stream sometimes, and it moves so slow you could crawl away from it, you know.
Well, let's hope nothing happens soon. But, you know, it looks like we're out of time, so I think we should wrap it up, because I got to eat some dinner. I'm starving.
All right. Well, I hope things get better for you.
I think everything will be fine. I'm taking the attitude of everything happens for a purpose, and I believe that, you know, if there's higher energies out there, they're watching out for me. They have thus far. And so it'll all work out, you know. It's always worked out in the past, so there's no reason to believe it won't work out in the future.
Exactly. Everything turns out to be exactly the way it's meant to be.
That's right. All right. Well, with that, Joe, thanks for coming in tonight and helping with the show as usual. And I guess we'll see everybody next Sunday, 7 p.m. West Coast time.
Yeah, my pleasure. You take care of yourself, bro.
All righty. Take it easy. Talk to you later. Good night, everybody.
Aloha.